Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, well, you know what? It is hurricane season, or there's always a storm on the horizon, isn't there? Figuratively or literally speaking. So it's always good to be prepared, and you know there's a financial twist or element to this. If you're not prepared, well, look, there could be a lot of costs related to dealing with whatever happens and also having to make quick and sometimes very expensive decisions about dealing with whatever emergency may come. So, of course, the smart thing to do is to be prepared. And so we're very fortunate to have the survival mom, okay? That's our guest today, Lisa Bedford. She's an author, speaker, blogger, and the book Survival Mom, How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst-Case Scenarios. And I've got a copy of the book I'm holding in my hand. Very interesting. Already started flipping through it. You can get it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and also the survivalmom.com website for more information. So Lisa is better known as a survival mom, a preparedness-minded author, blogger, keynote speaker. She's all about helping families adopt a calm, common-sense approach to be prepared for an uncertain future. And you know what? The future is uncertain. That's the nature of it not having happened yet. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're very excited to have Lisa with us. She has been featured all over the place, MSN Money, US Weekend, CBS Fox News Affiliates, Arizona Republic, Phoenix Magazine, Women's World Magazine, all over the internet and radio interviews. So we're good and glad to have her be with us on our program. And her and her family also were featured in the pilot episode of Doomsday Preppers, and she filmed a promotional video for the movie World War Z. So, really excited to have Lisa on the program. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, David. Thanks for such a kind introduction.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Well, look, you got the goods, so we just need to talk about them, okay? I mean, you did. You did all that, and you are, of course, prepared to help us understand preparedness. And I think that so often it's easy for us with our busy lives to ignore, discount, not find time in the day. It's at the very bottom of the list for a lot of people, unless they have been through a major emergency situation. You know, people just don't think about it.
That's right. I grew up in Phoenix, and in Phoenix, nothing bad ever happens in terms of natural disasters. You know, no earthquakes, no, you know, flooding on an occasional basis. It didn't even touch it wasn't even on the radar for most people in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I moved here to Texas, and bam, you know, it's all about hurricanes and flooding and many more preparedness-minded people. So I think you're right. For an awful lot of people, it's nowhere on the radar.
Well, let's dive right in here. What are some of the things for people to be thinking about? The four questions that will help people prioritize your disaster preparedness. I know you've got four questions that are really key. What are they?
You know, for anybody who's paying attention to the news, there are all kinds of calamities that worry us. And whether it's a potential economic collapse or it's, we're talking now about huge earthquakes and this ring of fire, around the world. And so it can be overwhelming. You wonder, well, where should I start? Is it enough just to have a flashlight on hand? In fact, that's the number one question I like to ask people is, do you have a flashlight? And if they have a flashlight and it has batteries and they know where it is, just that one little simple step is an indication of someone that, hey, you know, you have given some forethought to planning even in that one smallest step. So here are the four questions that I would then lead someone to if I was working with them or just in a conversation. And that is, number one, you need to identify the most likely natural disasters where you live. And that's going to be different if you're in New York City versus in Houston, Texas, versus in Salt Lake City, for example.
Sure.
The natural disasters. So it could be earthquakes, tornadoes, mudslides, anything like that. The second question then to ask yourself is, what are the most likely extreme weather events that I should prepare for? Here in the, you know, I'm about an hour and a half north of Houston, and man, we've had some significant flooding. So obviously for me and for people living in this area, flooding is an extreme weather event.
Yeah.
So maybe it'd be at the top of the list. Question number three, the most likely man-made disasters. Now, this could be terrorism. It could be a nuclear event. It could be an economic disaster or an economic collapse. It could be riots, any of those kinds of things. It could be the tainting of a city's water system, a purposeful tainting of it, a pandemic. Which one of those, just based on your research, based on your knowledge, which one of those would be most likely? And you can have several in each category listed. And the third question is personal disasters. And David, this could be just a devastating medical issue with a family member. Mm. It could be the main breadwinner losing a job or having their hours cut, a personal disaster. So then I recommend going through this shorter list that you have. Now instead of a huge black cloud hanging over your head, right, now you've actually identified it. I have found that whenever you identify something and you put it on paper, it loses a lot of its power over mm-hmm. you. So now you have that in writing in front of you, and now hit those categories again and circle the one that you believe is not only most likely, but most imminent. And imminent is a key word. Now at this time of year in here where I live in Texas, yes, flooding is probably going to be the most imminent concern, but at different times you also had tornadoes and other issues. But right now the most imminent is flooding. And for someone else, the most imminent might be earthquake. If they're living, you know, in the Ring of Fire area and they're right. starting to feel, you know, shakes going on underneath them. And that really does help. And finally, you want to take those, the number one natural disaster, the number one extreme weather event, the number one most likely man-made disaster and personal disasters, and now circle just the one. Which one of those four are the most imminent? And you know, that gives you a place to start.
Sure.
And the good news is that preparing for one thing is going to help you prepare for other events.
That's a good point.
Because in so many ways these overlap.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of overlap. I was thinking that as you were describing it, Lisa. And it sounds like that it's really, like you said, getting started is the hardest part, getting some momentum, and also putting it down and thinking it through. Because when you do have it just in your head, you know, we have some pretty powerful imaginations and natural tendencies to become alarmed. And it's, you know, has preserved us as a species, the ability to adapt and think through things. But it also can just create long-term stress and not get you where you need to be and certainly not prepare you. And there's so many things we can talk about. I want to dig into some of the key steps as we've identified what those potential things are that can occur. I want to get into some of the basic steps that people should take. Let's grab a break and we'll come back. Lisa Bedford, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, blogger, and the book Survival Mom, How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst Case Scenarios, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other great bookstores. And of course, you can go to the survivalmom.com website, thesurvivalmom.com. Quick break, word from our sponsors, back with Lisa.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, President and Managing Partner of Rice & Rose. The Rice & Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice & Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. And we're back. Survival Mom. That's Lisa Bedford. And the book is Survival Mom, How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst Case Scenarios, thesurvivalmom.com is the website, and we're digging in. We've identified that you probably, depending on where you live in the country or the world, you know, there's going to be things that are specific to your area that are more likely to occur, more imminent, and may have a more significant impact on you. And we're getting ready to dig into some of the basic steps and supplies as you get this as a priority in your life. And Lisa, I'm sure that there are some common things to think about, and we could hit some of the, maybe some of the obvious ones up front, but then I'll bet you've also got some that a lot of people don't think of right away. So what are some of the basics we need to get in our preparedness bag, or however we're, I guess we can start with how do you plan on transporting this? Is it a bag by the front door that hangs there ready to go? How do you plan on taking things with you if you need to leave?
That is a topic that preppers love to debate, David, and they have been debating this for years on some of the survival forums online.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the most popular one is a backpack or maybe a satchel that you wear across your chest, with the key concept is having your hands free. You want your hands free if you're holding on to the hand of a child. You want your hands free if you're holding onto a flashlight or maybe something for self-defense. Mm-hmm. Just having your hands free is huge. So having something already packed, a question I start getting a lot, very often around this time of year is, well, what about food and water? Regardless of what happens, whether it's an earthquake, whether you're stranded someplace, a terrorist attack, you know, with the Boston Marathon, what was it?
Sure.
You know, a few years ago.
Right.
You know, there were people who were stranded and they couldn't get, you know, couldn't get home for many hours. So even something like water and food, mm-hmm. when the temperatures are really intense, you want to look for water containers and for types of food that will be safe in higher temperatures.
Sure.
But, very few people realize the devastating effect that heat has, particularly on food. It will degrade the nutrients and the mm-hmm. flavor and the texture of the food faster than anything else.
That's
so
true.
You may, during the summer, want to switch out food and water in your survival kit or your get-home bag, whatever you call it, your bug-out bag, you know, maybe even once a month. And, you know, just maybe if the food is useless by that time, toss it. But, you know, things like granola bars, things like nuts, those usually do generally well in heat.
Right.
Jerky, you know, if it is, you know, very, like, vacuum-packed.
Right.
So you want to make sure that the food is protected from light and oxygen. Again, those degrade food. Water, again, just switch that out on a regular basis at this time of year.
And certain foods.
You also want to make sure, yes.
Yeah, certain foods, though, you know, they have a longer lasting, you know, where
they
you don't
do.
Have to swap them out. But you do, I think your key point is really good, Lisa, that you can't just set it and forget it and throw it in the back of a closet
God.
And it's there for a year or two. I mean, now you could make sure you include Twinkies because those things last forever.
That's what I've heard.
I'm kidding.
Now, you know, if you work from home, David, you want to make sure that you have something at work.
Right.
My husband works in downtown Houston very often.
Oh,
and
yeah, good point.
I've encouraged him to have a change of clothes.
Yeah.
Maybe even to have, you know, a pillow or maybe just to have a Sims blanket if he ever has to spend the night in his office or on the road.
Yeah.
So these kinds of things, you have to think about your daily routine. I'm a stay-at-home mom and I do my writing from home, so I'm out and about, but not nearly as much as many other people. So you want to just ask yourself, where do I spend a good amount of time? And really, what should I have in my vehicle? What should I have in my place of work, my locker at work? If I was stuck there for a day or two or three days, what would I need? For many people, David, that would include prescription medication.
Yeah, that was on my list.
If you're on high blood pressure medication, mm-hmm. you want to make sure that you have those things with you, an inhaler, those kinds of things. They need to be part of that kit.
You know, it strikes me there needs to be some sort, and I'm sure you've got this kind of stuff on the website, thesurvivalmom.com, or at least resources to connect people for this. There's an ongoing maintenance program I'm hearing in here that you can't just build this once and have Twinkies and throw it in the back of the closet and you're done. It's an ongoing process of restocking and hoping that is something that you're wasting time on every week or every month, and you hope you never need any of it. But if and when you do, you'll be really glad that you took the time to make it part of your normal life, preparing for life after a major event.
That's right. A category a lot of people don't think about is sanitation. Very often, in fact, I was just reading, there's a foraging expert who's in my part of Texas, and he made a statement that for people who they forage, they'll go out and they'll pick berries, or they'll look for different kinds of herbs and so on that grow in the wild. And he said, you know, when there's a big flooding event, you want to stay away from those areas for foraging purposes for 7 to 8 months. A lot of times we don't think of the effects of something like broken water lines or flooding in the street, because it's not only flooding the street, it's also flooding and bringing that tainted water into our water supply system. And sometimes, you know, it can take hours or many days for all that to catch up. But sanitation is something else. You want to make sure you have something to, you know, sanitize surfaces. You want to make sure you have toilet paper. A great idea for toilet paper, believe it or not, is that cardboard center out of a roll of toilet paper, and you can vacuum pack it in something like a food saver. And now you have a very, very compact entire roll of toilet paper that can fit easily into a packet or a pouch, or a pocket or a pouch in your bug out bag. So that is another category. Health issues I mentioned. And some another thing is also staying cool in the summer. And we're entering into the hot months. And elderly people, those with health issues, babies, toddlers, they really struggle. Their bodies struggle to stay cool.
Right.
So what could you have in your kit? What kind of preps did you have at home if the power goes out for hours or days in order to keep people cool? And one possibility is a small battery-operated fan. Just something like that, just facing, you know, someone who needs to cool down, putting water on the back of their neck and their wrist and so on. So you want to be able to think about that as well. And, of course, in the winter, it's the flip side is true. How do we stay warm, you know, when the power goes out? So those are all areas that affect whatever you're preparing for.
Excellent, Lisa. Well, you know, one of the obvious ones that I was going to say, and you didn't mention it, and the listeners are going to ask, too, how about cash?
Oh, good heavens. You know, there are some areas of preparedness, David, that I don't, that are not glamorous. It's glamorous to talk about a bug-out bag. It's glamorous to talk about how you're going to get your vehicle all ready, you know, to, you know, race away from the zombies. But when it comes to finances, health, those are two areas that a lot of people overlook because who wants to talk about that?
Right.
Finances are huge, and I have long, long recommended having cash on hand. Again, with that handy vacuum sealer, that food saver type machine, you can actually vacuum pack a wad of cash and have that handy, but, you know, just put it in a bottom, you know, a little area, you know, of your vehicle, a hidden area of your vehicle or someplace hidden in your backpack. But that is, that really is vital.
I like that in two respects. One, it's vacuum sealed and it's hidden because, you know, if somebody finds out in your family, you know, your spouse, for example, finds out you got the cash hidden, they might decide to raid that when they run out of money. And then when you need it, it's not there.
Well, and another thing many people don't know until it happens is that when there's a widespread power outage, the gasoline pumps don't work and ATM machines don't work. And if you have cash in those scenarios and you're pulling up to a gas station, everybody is there with their debit card, and you have a $50 bill and you can pay cash right now for, you know, however many gallons of gas, you're going to be able to cut to the front of the line.
That's right. Well, and continuing the thought, because I get questions about this, and I bet you know what I'm going to ask about. How about, you know, again, if this is a crisis of some sort, people ask about, do I need to have gold and silver and things like that?
That's interesting, and I've written about it in my book as well as the website. Gold and silver, precious metals, they have a place in preparedness, but you have to get in place first the basic prep I've talked about.
Right.
You want at least 3 months of food. You want to have water supplies and water purifiers, and you want to have all of these different things in place. Then when they are, you can then say, okay, I want to start buying some, you know, silver rounds or silver coins, junk silver. You know, I prefer gold in smaller denominations, like maybe 1/10 of an ounce coins, just because I think that in the future, if you ever did have to rely on them, I would much rather, you know, part with, you know, 1/10 of an ounce of gold for something, maybe overpay a little bit, than only having, you know, really, you know, my beautiful 1 ounce coin.
Exactly.
They have a part, but they also have a place in prioritization, and they're not at the top of the list.
No, I agree with that. And I think if you better get your prescriptions and all the other things, and
yes,
there's other things I think that probably we need to add. Lisa Bedford, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, and blogger. You can see why she's on the program. Survival Mom, How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst Case Scenarios. That's the book, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the SurvivalMom.com website. Quick break, word for those wonderful sponsors, and we'll be right back with Lisa to prepare you. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Yes, indeed. We need to plan stronger. And one way to do that is to be prepared for an emergency. Lisa Bedford is our guest helping us understand this. Author, speaker, and blogger. The book is Survival Mom: How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst Case Scenarios. TheSurvivalMom.com is the website. And, you know, we were talking before the break, Lisa, about some of the things that people might overlook or things that, you know, maybe need to be down the list in terms of priority. And the next one is going to be probably people have different opinions about it. I have my own opinion that's pretty strong about this subject, and it's having the ability to protect yourself. Because if you're prepared and you have all these goodies and you're the ant that has prepared for the winter and the grasshoppers show up and they want your stuff, you got to be able to defend yourself.
You know, they say that if you can't defend it, you don't really own it.
Right. Right.
And I agree. I think that is part of something that kind of goes alongside, like a railroad track. You know, on one track, you're acquiring things and you're putting things into place. You're looking at your home and saying, okay, how can we make this more secure? You know, if we ever really had to. And then that second track is, well, here is what I'm doing to protect my food. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm doing to protect, you know, the vehicles. My house, you know, we have talked, for example, you know, our kids began learning about firearm safety, and they actually did a summer camp once, you know, and learning how to shoot rifles and handguns. And they both are pretty adept at those with their, you know, firearm skills. We have also talked about martial art training and situational awareness. Once I talked with a friend, or actually a relative, who works for Homeland Security and the FBI, and I said, well, what do you do to keep your family safe? I expected he had tripwires and lasers and all kinds of things, you know, around his house. He said, Lisa, the main thing is situational awareness.
That's so true.
Being aware of where you are, who's around you, what's going on, watching for body language, and all of those different kinds of elements. That, and it's sometimes, David, they just register in our subconscious. We just get a gut feeling, there's something wrong with this person, there's something wrong with this setting, I need to get away. And you can just trust your gut in those kinds of things. And that is all a part of being prepared.
So true. So true. And you know, for those people out there thinking, I got to have gold, well, there's another heavy metal you might want to have, and it's lots of lead in case you need to protect you, yourself, your family, all this preparation. And you know, it's just reality of the world we live in. And especially if we have, you know, you talked about going up. I mean, I know it's kind of sounds extreme, but you talked about going up to the gas station and being able to get gas because you've got your crisp $50 bill and everybody else is standing around going, I don't have that. I got credit cards. Well, you know, there are and again, that's a situational awareness you spoke to, but it's also just being aware and being prepared. And, you know, all these scenarios are hopefully unlikely, but it's wise to be prepared.
You know, a big element is this not being caught by surprise.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you know that a power outage will affect ATM machines. You can't use a debit card. You can't use a credit card. It's going to affect the actual pumping of gas in many cases. And that just puts you a step ahead of everyone else.
Sure.
Just that awareness of, hey, this is what could happen. And you know, one thing that a lot of preppers do is that no matter where we are, we just play these mind games. You know,
sure.
What would happen? I'm sitting
right
here in my family room. What if all of a sudden I heard a window break and one of my kids yell? What, you know, I'm in a movie theater, you know, and I want to know where the exits are. I want to look at the people around me. Just being just really aware and running scenarios through your mind. And people think that preppers are just paranoid and all we do is live in fear. Nothing could be further from the truth. I think fear propels us initially into this. But fear gets a bad rap because for many of us, we would not have annual physical exams if there wasn't a little element of fear.
Good point.
You know, we wouldn't take care of, you know, certain things that are important if it wasn't for a little bit of fear. That's why people buy insurance.
Yeah, you can make the argument.
Well, this is a form of insurance.
Yeah, you can make the argument, Lisa, that, you know, the counter argument there is that people are living in a bubble and out of reality to think that there's things that don't happen. And there's statistic after statistic about the home break-in you refer to and other things happening. I tell you, it's a great area for people to spend some time. You've done, of course, some homework for them and organized this with the book, Survival Mom, How to Prepare Your Family for Everyday Disasters and Worst-Case Scenarios. Definitely recommend that people pick that up, the survivalmom.com website. Lots more great information. Lisa, we're out of time, but we'll definitely have to have you back and go over some other topics with you. And it's a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks. I'd love to come back, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.